When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I'm gonna start this one with a sort of modeling exercise slash thought experiment. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you all to use your imaginations as you're listening to this. It shouldn't be too hard. I want you to imagine a circle and imagine a triangle. And now I'm gonna ask you a question. Which shape feels like the friendlier shape, the kind shape, the approachable shape? Okay, so I paused 3 seconds there. Didn't seem like that big of a pause, right? Like you weren't like, at least I don't imagine many of you were like checking your phones or your players to go like, wait a second, was there an error? Did it stop loading? What's going on? 3 seconds is not a long pause when you are in the audience. When you are a presenter, it can seem like an inordinately long amount of time. I have watched a lot of beginning teaching artists, and I'm super busted on this. I was the same way when I first started. 3 seconds feels like an eternity when you are presenting. When you are trying to hold the attention of 10 to 25 people or more at any given time, that kind of pause can feel like a chasm. And I would often rush to fill in the spaces, right? But the thing is like when you ask a question like that, like which shape feels like the friendly shape? I remember take a few episodes back of Thunder Punch Daily where I was talking about like this perspective taking we do, is that some of the students are gonna be like, okay, this is a trick. My gut tells me it's the circle, but I'm betting that it's the triangle after all. I'm gonna try to figure out how the triangle is the friendly shape, you know? And then there's going to be some kids who are like, well, wait a minute, how can a shape be friendly or not friendly? What are you talking about? And then there's going to be kids who have synesthesia who are going to be like, oh, well, not only are circles friendly, but they're always orange, you know? But you need to give them time to process that, right? So that's like a first like sort of general little piece of advice that I give to beginning teaching artists and, you know, something I try to remind myself of is like, let an uncomfortable moment happen, you know? Let there be a pause. And give the students a chance to think about what you're saying. And, you know, if you're in the privileged position where you're actually teaching in a room, that's an opportunity to get up and move around and, like, walk behind the students and let them just consider the images on the screen. And you don't have to, like, stand up and present at a podium the entire time. But to a larger extent, this is an idea about related to pacing. And now I'll make the case that as visual artists, we think about rhythms all the time. Visual rhythms, if we are cartoonists who are making comic books, we're thinking about visual pacing, whether it's a big long panel or a small narrow panel or a series of small balloons or one big word balloon. Those all change the speed and the pace at which the reader will encounter the story, right? So why aren't we thinking about that in our workshops, in our presentations? There can be a pacing to this kind of thing, and we don't have to stumble and rush to fill in all the negative spaces, because that's another thing. Think about that. Audio negative spaces. Negative space is important in art, and I think it's important in a workshop environment as well, is let there be some gaps in there for the students to sort of have and engage with their own thoughts. I guess I should say, if I was going to put a disclaimer on this one, which I don't really want to, but just for the sake of absolute transparency and clarity, is like, this is just, I guess if you want to teach like how I teach, which is, well, I don't want to say that, I don't like those words. This is if you want to teach in a from a philosophical mindset similar to mine, which is to say that I like teaching experiences or learning experiences that are collaborative. And I like to ask my students to step up as I step toward them. I'm not a lecturer. I like to engage them and let the lesson become what it needs to be based on what signals they're giving me, which can be pretty exhausting sometimes, but I find in general it's a richer experience. And I think that one of the ways you get to that richer experience is by letting those awkward moments of wondering about something happen. And I've caught myself, again, in my younger days, my beginning days as a teaching artist, interrupting a student Just as they start to talk with, they finally start to engage because they're processing and they're thinking, they're trying to, you know, wrap their head around the weird questions I'm asking them. And then I would get impatient. I'd be like, well, obviously we all think the circle's more friendly, right? And like a student was just about to talk and I stepped on them, right? I would rather have a few extra beats of awkwardness than have me interrupt a student who is demonstrating the courage to interact in a room full of other beginners. So that's another thing to think about too. So anyway, rhythm, pacing, purposeful pauses. I always attribute that quote to Kate Shields Stenzinger of the Art and Science Punks podcast, because I just think it's a lovely way of thinking about it. A pause doesn't have to be a blank moment in between coherent thoughts. A pause can be something you do for a reason. And okay, I'm done. This is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, artsoundoff.com, where me and my buddy Rob Stenzinger are challenging ourselves and by extension everybody else to check in over the month of November with an audio journal about your art. And if you decide to share it, please use the Art Sound Off hashtag, but you don't have to share it. I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember everybody.
There are times when everybody dreams of becoming very rich or powerful, but what they don't think about are the problems and responsibilities that go with it. In today's story, He-Man was tested, and he proved his worth when he was able to resist the temptation to use his great power for any selfish gain. He knew that it's just as important to know when not to use force as it is to know when to use it.